The following is an analysis, interpretation, and summary of James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. Chapter 10, How to Fix and Find the Cause of Your Bad Habits. So this encompasses Law 2 of creating a habit, make it attractive, in the last chapter of this law. And last week we covered Chapter 9, the role of family and friends in shaping your habits and how social norms and behaviors are imitated by those around us and how we can best adapt and take advantage of that situation for better habits. Now we're going to talk about cravings and reprogramming your brain to basically relish and enjoy and take advantage of good habits and hard habits. So first we're going to start, where do cravings come from? Because when we talk about the habit loop, we go the cue, craving, response, reward, there is a second component, cravings. We all experience it with everything. A craving is a specific manifestation of a deeper underlying motive. A craving is the desire to change your internal state. And in Sapiens, The Brief History of Human Mankind, one of my favorite books that I am also analyzing and summarizing on this channel as well, that you can see, is in the latter half of the book, Yuval talks about Buddhism and cravings, and this idea of cravings being one of the roots of human suffering. At least that's what is referenced in Buddhism, which is, it's one of the most profound ideas in the book, and we talk about it more in the psychological human behavior habit formation sense here. But the idea of a craving is the desire to change your internal state. We are all looking, if you really analyze it, aren't most of us just looking for a change in internal state? Whether we're doing something physically difficult, there is a part of us, a large or small part of us, that wants that physically difficult thing to end, to change the state. If we're experiencing something pleasurable, we want that state to continue, to prolong. Or if we're at a homeostasis, usually eventually we'll have a craving of some sort to change our state because we get hungry or tired, or we could seek some type of addictive behavior because the regulated natural state that we live in and what some people live in is a suffering of sorts, and they need to change their state. Drugs, alcohol, sex, video games, any type of addiction, gambling, they need to change their state in order to secure a feeling of control, secure a feeling of kind of an internal sigh of relief, if you will. Your current habits are not necessarily the best way to solve the problems you face. They are just the methods you learnt to use. Once you associate a solution with the problem you need to solve, you keep coming back to it. And so this is where people find addictive behaviors. That's a lot of habit. A lot of people have addictive behaviors as their typical daily habits. Destructive behaviors, destructive habits. And becomes a way they solve a problem. I feel tired. I take caffeine. I feel sad. I eat. I feel out of control and stressed and angry. I go smoke. Whatever. We all have made associations to solve problems in our day-to-day. But how productive are the solutions to our problems? When you binge eat, smoke, go on social media, what you really want is not a chocolate or cigarette or likes, you know, a social affirmation. What you really want is to feel different. You want to feel different than how you are currently. And the craving is the anticipation of that state of change, which is how one reason social media is such a hook on people, because they understand and that their brain has learnt that if they click on this colorful candy icons, they open it up and they scroll, see those notifications, it is a desirable state of change that is happening at a chemical level, at a chemical level, secreting dopamine and serotonin. And so, of course, we want to come back because those are hormones associated with euphoria. How to reprogram your brain to enjoy hard habits. You can learn to enjoy hard habits if you associate them with positive experiences and feelings. Often we say, I have to. I have to get up early to go to work. I have to cook dinner for my family. I have to work out. What if we change one word? You don't have to. You get to. You get to wake up early and go to work. You get to cook dinner for your family. You get the opportunity to gift your family with a hard-earned meal. Shifting that one word shifts how you view the event. You get the opportunity to go for a 30-minute walk outside or a 60-minute run, weight training session, and then you get to feel and experience the benefits associated with that. Instead of seeing these events as burdens, they are seen as opportunities. Both approaches are true, though. You have to do them, and you get to do them. But what if we changed one word in self-talk, in our self-talk? Like, oh man, I have to do this. Because when you feel like you have to do something, it feels like a burden sometimes. It feels like an obligation. And when you feel obligated to do something that you really don't really want to do, resentment and ill feeling can begin to bubble up against the task and the people behind the task who are telling you to do the task. But if you reshape the association of what is a bit difficult, whatever difficult habit it is, I get to do this. This is an opportunity for me to get X result. Then suddenly the whole disposition of how you approach the task is better. Like, this is something that I think could do a better job at. And one way I could do a better job at is I'm gonna make a little post-it note card and write this down. You don't have to. You get to do this. Something like that. Because we need to remind ourselves because, like, you know, we can read these books, we can dive into these concepts, we can watch these lectures, we can go study at universities, but it takes time and repetition, deliberate repetition, to reprogram your own brain and to change your perspective. And so listening to this once will get you started. Listen to this video, watching these series, like, it'll get you started. But unless on the back end of this, on the back end of that podcast, on the back end of that book, you now begin to take action, it's just mental masturbation. It's just activity, stimulating your brain, making you think you're actually doing something productive, but really, you're not doing much. These videos take a lot of time, energy, effort. And there's not much extrinsic reward necessarily, particularly when I don't crowdsource the comments to gain a boost in my self-esteem, and the money on YouTube is negligible for now. As much as this gives me some type of intrinsic reward, maybe you have your own version of this. Well, in times where maybe, because a book that I feel like can have those feelings, like I feel like I have to do it because now I've started it. Like, the book Sapiens is what I'm talking about. I want to do it, but now I'm like, you know what? I do feel obliged to do it as well because of numerous reasons. But it's also an opportunity. I get to do this. I get the opportunity to have a small platform to re-educate myself, create some type of educational material for the world, my peers, the people around me, and others who may not learn the best by reading a book. That maybe they need to hear something or watch somebody's face, like a lecture, to really encapsulate an idea. And then they're not, and the people they're learning off in universities and schools are very robotic and have no character or personality. It's like they're robotic. They're like a robot. Maybe they need to learn, maybe it's helpful for them to learn from somebody like myself who, you know, doesn't have a filter, or tries not to have any facade or filter, and just tries to just talk as authentically and honestly as I can. And there's people out there who learn best like that. So I get the opportunity to provide education, and I'm a vessel for some of those people. So that's something I get to do. And what an honor that is. And so that's how I just reframed it in my head. So reframing our habits to see their benefits at the forefront of our mind instead of their drawbacks is a fast way to reprogram your mind and make a habit seem more effective. I have to go for a run this morning. You could say that. Or it's time to go for a run, get some fresh air outdoors, clear my mind, and get fitter. I have to save some money this month. I won't be able to buy anything or go out. You could say, living below my current means increases my future means. Living below my current means increases my future potential and lifestyle. The money you save this month increases your purchasing power in the next month. I get to be disciplined now so I can reap future rewards in the investments I make later. People get frustrated by not being able to meditate without distraction and thoughts. But it's a good thing, because you need distractions to effectively practice and rehearse the skill of meditation. So the distractions and the monkey mind, maybe not a bad thing. Maybe a tool to help you grow more skillful. So this is an opportunity for everybody listening to analyze where we may be, where you may be feeling obliged to do tasks and habits that are difficult, and where you can reframe your self-talk and reprogram your mind to have a more constructive, positive outlook on the habit you need to do, but you also get to do. Lastly, let's finish off with some motivational rituals. This is the idea of associating your habits with something you already enjoy. And you use that as a cue when you need motivation. I don't like the word motivation. Motivation is like a spark, right? At the end of the day, you need an engine, right? The engine is really what I'm after. Example, using music to prompt you into the habit of exercising, training, or writing, or studying. You could have different pieces of music and genres of music associated with different tasks and habits. Could be something really upbeat and high energy for exercising. It could be something more meditative and classical, jazz in nature for writing or studying. Something repetitive. Often repetitive music played like the same song over and over again can be a great tool for creating white noise and improving attentional focus. And maybe you just love music too. So that can be another bonus of associating something you enjoy with something you get to do or have to do. If you want to experience more joy in your day-to-day and reduce stress, find something that makes you happy, like playing with your dog, and then create a short routine you do before that. So then the routine before then can be the difficult habit. Or you can do it on the back end as well. But if you do it on the front end, then it gives you something to push forward towards. I get to play with my dog at the end of this. Where if you do it at the back end, you play with your dog. You're like, I've already played. I've already got the good reward. You're probably not going to do the habit that you needed to do. So you habit stack it the other way. You front load the difficult thing at the beginning with the incentive that you get to feel better with the reward, quote unquote, of playing with your dog after, or with watching something you enjoy, or with having a meal. Whatever. So to reiterate, you're going to create a motivational ritual by doing something you enjoy immediately after a difficult habit. It's similar to habit stacking in order to incentivize the behavior that you want. So that covers chapter 10, how to fix and find the causes of your bad habits. We talked about cravings, where they come from, the definitions of them. How to reprogram your brain to enjoy hard habits by rephrasing our self-talk from I have to I get to, and honestly associating that with something that we believe, not just the filler words like, oh, I get to exercise because it's going to make me healthier. No, do something that actually, like, yeah, you believe that? Like, does that really mean something to you? Find something that really means something to you, that you can push you, that it's associated with your identity and values that are important to you. Maybe getting healthier is not the most important value. Maybe looking better is. Maybe achieving a high standard of excellence is. You know, whatever the value identity is for you, try and associate that with that self-talk. And lastly, talking about motivational rituals, in doing a habit stacking type of ritual where we put the hard habit before the enjoyable habit that you enjoy the most. So that's chapter 10. And next video in chapter 11, we're going to cover law 3 of habit formation, make it easy. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you for watching. You can find all of these videos, summaries on all podcast platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and snippets of these and other philosophical ramblings on Instagram at Alexander Emmanuel. I'll see you in the next one. Thank you.